It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
It is really great being with you. You know, I just feel here on Bible Home Church that, well, I just feel like you're right here at church with me. Now, I know you could be in Toledo, Ohio. You could be down in Mexico. You could be in Ireland, Romania, listening somewhere. But I feel we're all part of the same congregation of Bible Home Church, and that's what this is, a worship service. You know, I preach a sermon, then we break it into segments. But many of you, if you listen regularly to the program, you know that it really is a powerful way to teach God's Word. Now, we've been having our series on Revenge of the Pharisees. And I hope that you've been blessed by this series, and because it is really, I am convinced, the most pressing issue in the church today. Of course, if I had to name just one thing that was the greatest problem facing Christendom today, I would say lack of belief in the Holy Bible. The second problem, although how can we prioritize, how can we say what is the greatest, but a second problem, horrible problem, is that people do not really know who is the true Jesus, nor do they recognize genuine, authentic Christianity. And so they do not know how to behave, to conduct themselves. They don't know how to lead a fruitful Christian life. They are being misled by pastors, by Judaizers, by Pharisees, or by liberals, many of whom are Pharisees, believe it or not. And all of these people, including, regrettably, most of the pastors today, need the light of truth. And I want to warn you, my friends, I want to warn you and them that you cannot be inoculated or immunized by going to a seminary, by going to a Bible college, or by enrolling in some department of religion at some major university. Those groups generally today, and I'm really generalizing, are led by nothing more than a bunch of sons of Satan who are apostate devils, and they're hired to lead you into paths of foolishness and foolhardiness as well. No, my friends, the only way we can determine what the truth is in these last days is to go directly to God's Word. You know, Sandra Myers, one of our very loyal and faithful supporters of Christ's work here, and I were talking just recently, and we brought up the fact that the Bible says that no man needs to teach you, but the Holy Ghost will instruct you in all things. Well, I suppose you could turn off the radio and say that applies to Tex Mars. And you know, you wouldn't be far from right if you would allow the Holy Spirit. Now, there's nothing wrong with preachers. In fact, by the preaching of what the world believes is foolishness, many people have been saved. And the Bible tells us in Romans not to be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power unto salvation. So bringing the gospel is vital, important, essential. But, you know, you also are a preacher. Every once in a while a person will ask me if I'm ordained. I know immediately they want to know if I have some certificate, some piece of paper. And, of course, I have an ordination certificate, so I can pull it out and show them that it was signed by Pastor so-and-so, and so, you know, and it'll make them feel better. But that's not what ordination really is in the Christian church. I am quite positive that Elijah and Jeremiah and, of course, our Lord Jesus did not have any certificates or diplomas. They didn't have anything to hang on their wall saying this person has received 36 semester hours of instruction in the Bible from Professor so-and-so. This person has been ordained by the synagogue at Bethsaida or Capernaum. Isn't that interesting? They simply were called and ordained by God and went forth preaching the gospel. And I'm sure they got many people to say, "Who are you? Who do you think you are? Why? I've never heard of your name. I've never heard of you. Give us your credentials. Show us the great teachers of the synagogue at whose feet you sat. Let us see what universities you've gone to. Have you been to Rome? Have you been to the great cities of Greece and read the philosophies of Socrates and Plato? Do you know these kinds of things?" And I'm sure that all of the great prophets of God didn't pay those idiots, and I'm sorry, but that's what they are, one bit of mind. They went right on. When Jonah was spit up out of the whale, I'm sure he didn't go to the king of Nineveh and say, "Dear sir, I present my credentials. You see, I graduated from Bible college, and Professor so-and-so recommends me to you." He said no, and I'm positive he said this. Here's what he did. He simply said, "God has sent me to you as a messenger. I'm anointed to tell you if you don't repent, you're going to hell." Wow. That was... And I'm sort of a believer that he may have even told some of those people that he wished they would go to hell. I'm not sure of that, but it does appear from the Bible he didn't like the Ninevites, and he might have wished that they did go to hell. You say, well, that would have made him a flawed vessel then, wouldn't it? I mean, he didn't come preaching love and caring. And why doesn't Nineveh spend more money for welfare to help the poor? Why don't we bring in illegal immigrants and give them free medical care? No, he didn't preach any of that stuff. He just came in and said, "God told me to come here. I didn't want to. I wanted all you people to go to hell, but he made me come here. Made a big fish swallow me up. He caused a big storm, threw me overboard. I was eaten up by a big fish. I thought I was eaten up. Then he spit me out on your shore here, and I'm here to tell you, you better believe in the one true God. Repent of your sins in sackcloth and ashes." I mean, you better get down. That's down and dirty. You better take off your glad rags and your fine, fancy, luxurious things and change your hearts, or you're going to hell where you deserve to go to. And you know what? The king believed him. The people believed him. And they all repented. Some years ago, a man who was really the operating officer for one of the largest campus ministries in America called me on the phone. And he that was before they knew that I was such a radical troublemaker. They thought I might be helpful. They wanted to know if I would go around college campuses under the auspices of their organization, some of America's largest universities, and I would give talks and lectures to the students. And they said, "We could get big audiences for you at these universities and colleges, Tex, because after all, as part of the program, we will have rock and roll bands and music that the kids, the young people, can relate to." I said, "Well, why do you need me?" They said, "Well, you know a lot about the New Age movement and the occultism, evil, and all those. You can speak about those things." I said, in so many words, I told the man, I said, "Well, let me get this straight. You spend money and you set up a platform, a stage, with a public address system. You spend all the money to advertise it. You get maybe, who knows, hundreds, even thousands of young people to come forward and or come to the event. And you present sons of the devil on the stage to get all the kids all excited and everything to hear me. He said, what do you mean, sons of the devil? I said, the band, the rock and roll. Well, we won't have the worst groups. We'll have Christian rock and roll. I said, but there is no Christian rock and roll. I said, why don't you just have preaching? Why don't you just have good preachers come out and preach to the kids? He said, well, you know, Tex, we did a study, a survey of college students across America, and we found, we asked them, if you were invited to come to an event, an affair, would you come if it was a rock and roll band, or would you come to hear a sermon? We found that only 20% of the students would come to hear a sermon, but a huge percentage would come to hear a rock and roll band. So that's why we have rock and roll, you know, just to entice the kids to come. And then once they're there and they're captive to us, then we hit them with a sermon. You know what I told the man? I said, this is shocking. This is unbelievable. Do you mean to tell me that 20% of American college students responded on a survey and said if given the opportunity, if they knew they had the opportunity to go to such an event, they would go to hear a sermon preached on Jesus? 20% said yes. He said, yeah, but the majority wanted to hear rock and roll. I got so excited. That was good news to me. I said, are you telling me 20%, one out of five, would go to hear a sermon? Just advertise the sermon's going to be preached at such and such a place. You're invited. 20%, one out of five, would come? He says, well, yes. I said, friend, you better get on with it then. If you're going to get that many, I said, the University of Texas has 40,000 students. Now they have even more. But back then, I said, they have 40,000 students. That would mean 8,000 might show up. That'd be amazing. That'd be wonderful. I don't think the man ever got my point. It's a wonderful thing if you can get 20%. Believe you me, Jesus said, few will enter therein at the gate. Narrow is the way. And this huge campus organization, multi-million dollars, had probably 4,000 or 5,000 employees worldwide. They had the opportunity. There must have been people out there on college campuses so hungry for the gospel to be preached that 20% of them said, yeah, I'll go to hear a sermon. But yet they had to deceive them by saying, come out for a rock and roll thing. Then they'd sort of spring a sermon on them. You know, friend, God is not looking for the majority of people in this world. He knows men's and women's hearts. He knows they're patently evil. He knows that only a few will answer the call. And I don't think it's as high as 20%. I doubt if 0.1% of all the people in the world will be saved. I can't judge that. That's up to God. I pray there will be more than that. But I know what the Bible says. Few there are that will enter therein. At that gate. Narrow is the way to salvation. Broad is the way to destruction. But men cannot understand it. You see, these people of this campus organization, presuming to be Christian, were bringing the world's ways to the kids. They would come, they would hear rock and roll, and that's all they were interested in. Oh, I'm sure a few may find the Lord through such an event if the gospel was preached. But you know what kind of Lord you find? A mixture. A rock and roll Jesus. Friends, I want to tell you something. I've said this before. I'll say it right now once again. There is no Christian hard liquor. There is no Christian adultery. There's no Christian murder. And there's no Christian rock and roll music. There is no such thing. There's no Christian rock. There's only one rock, and his name is Jesus Christ. Well, we've got a little segment of a sermon. We're going to skip the music, the song today. And afterwards, I'm going to come on with some final conclusions and comments about the Pharisees, about their revenge, and what you and I need to know. Okay? So I'll come on after the final sermon segment and talk some more with you. And we'll chat some more specifically about this subject.
Here's some more. He said there's a nationwide effort to convert all Christians to Jews. Did you get that? Dr. Ruckman warns there is a nationwide, I don't believe it's just nationwide, it's worldwide, a global effort. And they've been working for over 100 years, and they really began during the days of Cyrus Scofield. The Scofield Bible was a tainted commentary of the Bible. And ever since then, by the way, he was paid by Samuel Untermeyer and the Jewish Zionist in New York City at the Lotus Club. They all plotted out to publish his false Bible, the Scofield Bible. And the Baptists and everybody, the Pentecostals, bought it. And now they no longer believe in Jesus only as King of Zion. They believe in a false king to come. Listen. Dr. Ruckman says there's a nationwide effort to convert all Christians to Jews by applying verses aimed at Israel to the Christian in the body of Christ. He says not even the saved Jew is a Christian. He is a completed Jew. Where does this Judaism come from? He says these are Judaizers carrying on. Wow. The Jews are saying, and the Messianic Judaic people are saying, we are the authorities. We know the original language of the Hebrews. You don't. Knowledge puffeth up. Pride goeth before destruction. Not many mighty, not many wise. These things are hid from the wise and prudent. Men of high degree are a lie. Diotrephes loveth to have the preeminence. All these I just read to you are all Bible verses. He says, watch out. Watch out. Esther is about to take over. Esther is about to take over, and she's going to kill everybody who doesn't come along with her. She's going to get the king, Caesar, Bush, Blair, and all the others to kill the Christians who do not fear the Jews. Wow. He goes on to warn of some other things that he's found in this Yahweh scam. For example, people say, I don't like the King James. Jesus' name really is Yeshua. Oh, yeah. Friends, let me tell you. Mohammed's problem was, according to the Holy Hadith of the Muslims, Volume 1, Number 234, he drank his first draught of camel urine. I'm not sure that these people haven't drank too much camel urine themselves. Philippians says the name above all names, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Yeah, but we got to use the Hebrew. Friends, I think God knows His name. If you're Spanish and you want to say Jesus, and if you're Hebrew and you want to say Yeshua, that's fine. But don't say, you got to say it, everybody's got to say it this way. The name is Jesus in the English, or just simply, I am that I am. Now, friends, Jesus warned of the leaven of the Pharisees. This is the revenge of the Pharisees.
For many years, so many have written to me expressing questions and concerns about the explosive topic of the Jews and the nation of Israel. Well, God has spoken to my heart, and that's why we have had this series, Revenge of the Pharisees. And I've devoted many hundreds of hours studying God's Word, praying, and researching into this issue. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul over and over warned the early Christian church about what he called the accursed gospel of the Judaizers, Galatians chapter 1. How sad that today these very same Judaizer untruths and heresies are so very widespread. And indeed, because of the fact that these are the last days, I'm convinced that the chief and most blasphemous heresy found inside the Christian church today involves the poisonous fables spread about by the Judaizers. And there again, Paul warned us not to believe the myths and fables of the Jews. It's doubly pitiful, my dear friends, that many sincere people have bought into the Judaizer doctrines. It's a telling sign that Jesus spoke the truth when he prophesied that in the end time the deception would be so seductive and smooth that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. That's Matthew 24, verse 24. And so the accursed gospel, Galatians 1, of the Judaizers, is the number one problem plaguing the weakened apostate Christian church today. In fact, it's basically already destroyed the Christian establishment. I praise God there is still a remnant of true believers out there. And I believe that many who listen to this program are part of that remnant of Jesus Christ. The few that are willing to obey the truth wherever it takes them. And I want to say something here. If a man or a woman buys this lie, because Paul said it is cursed, it is an accursed teaching. Do you realize it's not just bad information? It's not just a little bit erroneous. It's not just mistaken. It is cursed by God. Do you really want to believe in something that's cursed by God? I'm here to tell you, it will curse you. You will become cursed because of the gospel that you have bought into and which you will go about teaching others. The Judaizer lie, I think, is the very lie and abomination that the Antichrist, the son of perdition, will someday soon declare from the pulpit of a rebuilt, unholy last days temple of God. You can read about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Israel after the flesh is being promoted left and right by the Judaizers. Israel after the flesh. It's interesting in Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16, Paul says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." Do you realize that if you buy into the Judaizer lie, you open yourself up to all of these things? Adultery, fornication, witchcraft, lies, seditions, heresies, murders, drunkenness, revelings. You say, "Oh, no, no, no. I mean, the Orthodox Jews, they're very righteous. They're very strict." Don't believe it for a moment. Friends, I want you to understand something. The Mormon church has put out the public image. The Mormon church, now the LDS church in Salt Lake City's headquarters, that they are so holy. I mean, oh, look at the Mormons. They're so clean cut. These two clean cut missionaries go to the houses and knock on the door, and they ride their little bicycles, and they look so nice with crew cutter, nicely trimmed hair and their little suits on. And, oh, the Mormons are such moral paragons. Don't believe it. Did you know that Salt Lake City, Utah, leads America in rapes, burglaries, and murders? How could that be, since the vast majority of the people are those real good moral Mormons? The same thing goes for Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, Israel. Friends, I put out a video called Cauldron of Abaddon, and I want to tell you something. It proves that is a cesspool of corruption in Israel. An Orthodox Jew cannot obey the law. He can't even really understand it. And I'm telling you, he makes himself open to all kinds of evils. Don't fall victim to the belief that that you can follow after Israel according to the flesh. You've got to forget about Israel of the flesh and remember there is an Israel of God. The spiritual Israel. That's what we seek after. That's what we're a citizen of when we believe in Jesus Christ. You can't carry your flesh with you to heaven. It's going to stay here, dust to dust. Believe me, friends. Leave it behind. Go on to the Spirit. Be part of the house of God, the house of Israel, the true Israel, the spiritual. And live with power. It's wonderful being with you every week. And next week, we're going to start an entire new series. And, of course, whatever that topic is that God lays on my heart, I haven't selected it yet, because I'm going to seek the Word of God. I'm going to ask God's Spirit, what should I do, Lord? What should I preach on? And I know it'll be something that'll bless you and me, because God is my instructor. And His Holy Spirit tells me what to do. I'm Pastor Tex Mars. Until next week, may God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.